Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com, along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. Well, it's the annual Rite of Summer. Bassmaster Magazine rolls out the top 100 lakes in the nation, broken out into regions of the country, and ICAST takes place in Orlando, where all the newest products will be revealed. It's like Christmas in July for fishermen. Now, BASS Editor-in-Chief James Hall will join us today to talk about how the sausage is made for this year's top 100 issue. It's something that's really a year-round process, if you will. And one of the companies that will be revealing new product at ICAST is our friends at Rapala, who will roll out the Crush City line of soft baits, and Rapala Pro Bob Downey will join us to discuss them. But first, Bassmaster.com has rolled out a new members-only site with exclusive content for the more than 500,000 members of Bass, and you, if you choose to join. Jim Sexton is the vice president of BASS, handling all digital content, and he joins us now to talk about that. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Tom, thank you much. I'm doing great today.
This is really cool. I'm trying to think of the last time there has been something new that has been offered to members, existing members and new members. And it's been a minute, I think, since something like this has come down the pike. And this site is, I've been to it. I'm a lifetime member now, over 40 years as a lifetime member. And it's amazing the content that you guys have rolled into that site.
Yeah, you know, you said it the right way, in that we wanted to offer something new to members, you know, add value to the Bass membership. And we did a survey, actually. We've been thinking about this for a few years, but we did a survey with current members and former members and gave them a big list of options. What would they like to see? And the top two items that they chose were discounts for members and members-only content. And so we started working on a plan to do just that, and you see the fruits of our labor showing up now. We launched it in June, late June, and then started promoting it just about a week ago.
Now, the how-to portion of this, are these pieces that are original and exclusive to the members-only site, or are they things that had aired maybe in the past on the regular Bassmaster.com site?
They are new, and I'll break that down, because some are brand new, written for members only, and some videos shot for members only as well. And then we've gone back in our archives to things that have never hit the internet. Okay, So back in the day, Bassmaster Magazine team produced some books. They produced booklets for members, and those have just been sitting in our back closet. And we have digitized a bunch of that, and they're now on the internet for the first time. And, you know, as you know, techniques for catching bass never go away. They may not be as in favor at the moment, but they still work. And they may even work better than they did before, because people aren't using them a lot. So fish hadn't seen that in a while, and you can learn some things from these techniques that were around, you know, decades ago. So yeah. That's the how-to, and we're going to keep adding to it every week.
Now, it's simple to get to. You go to Bassmaster.com and you click on the membership tab there, and or just hover over it, and you'll see an opportunity there to join as a member, and then you'll also see the members only link. So you can kind of go there, and if you're not a member, you can go there and kind of see the headlines, but if you want to get into the meat of the issue, you go ahead and join Bass, and it's always been an incredible value. I mean, you think about, I know when I joined in 1981, it was the deal of a century. It was $200 back then, for a lifetime membership. And I've gotten Bassmaster magazine for 40 years now, and I have still a pile of them on the shelf. I still save them every month when they come in. But the magazine alone is worth a yearly membership, and then you get Bass Times, and you can also now have this this content. So and they still send you a little gift as well, and so on. So it really is a lot beyond just that shield that you get by being a member of Bass.
Yeah, that's right. You get a lot. The 1 year membership is $15, and you get tackle worth $30, right. $50 actually. But then you get all these other things now, and we wanted to give members more bang for their buck. And as more and more things move into the digital world, it's like, all right, let's give people a digital option here. And we kind of feel like this is the beginning. We've now got this membership section on Bassmaster.com, and we probably will have some surprises coming over the next year and beyond that will be special offers that are for members. And like you say, you can go and see what's there, but to actually read the content or watch the videos or even take advantage of the discounts, you got to log in. And we've made that easy. That actually was the hardest part of the project. We've got this giant member database, and linking that up with a new part of the site was, took some work on the technology front, but we got that pretty well ironed out. And if you don't know what your member number is, the easy thing to do is take the latest issue of your magazine, look down in the left-hand corner where it's got your address, and your member number is there. And for the issues coming out going forward, it will actually spell it out very clearly. It'll say, this is your member number. So that's all you need is that number and your last name, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I actually, at some particular point in time, and I don't know when, but I had found it listed and printed out a little, almost like a little card, and stuck it in a in a sleeve. Yeah, that has it. It's my card. It's got my member number, my name, and it says under expires, it says life, which I'm very proud of. And nice. It took seconds. I just typed it in and put my last name in there, and boom, I went right to the exclusive members site, which was really cool. And I also find this fascinating that it comes not that long after the passing of the great Ray Scott, the founder of BASS, and when I joined the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. It was before I became a tournament fisherman. This was about joining the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Those periods were very important. They're back in the logo. They've been back in the logo for 15 years now. And so this is kind of part of that. Membership is now being kind of moved back to the forefront, and it'd be great to see, this be a part of kind of the next wave of new members of Bass.
Now, it's a good observation. Ray's passing, that period of time, we thought a lot at Bass about our history and about the legacy, about the legends who made the sport. And part of that is, let's surface more of that content from those days. And as you've seen in this member section, the TV archive is one example of that. And what we've put up so far, we've got television shows from the 80s and 90s. And I had never watched those, or at least if I did, I don't remember it. But to see Ray Scott in action, to see Bob Cobb in action, was really fun to see. And beyond all the things I've read about them, seeing their personalities, it was just a lot of fun. And so we definitely want to surface more of that content and have it live on forever. And I kind of feel good about that part. It's like, once it's on the internet, it lives forever.
Yeah, yeah. All the Bassmaster covers from the 2000s listed there as well. And it is a trip down memory lane. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I think young and seasoned anglers will both really enjoy what they see here. And then who knows what you might be able to learn. I mean, you know, looking at some of these old tournaments that were on these lakes and being able to go back and check out the 1999 Bassmaster Top 100 on Pickwick Lake and see what that looks like compared to what you might be fishing a tournament there, you know, next month and get it, know, learn a little bit about it. I mean, that all of that stuff is really cool. I mean, it's
yeah,
it's
I think content. that, you know, some people will watch it for the nostalgic value and just to watch fishing. Others will watch it because they're going to plan a trip to that lake and they want to see how a Bassmaster Pro fished it. You know, so it's a scouting report in some ways. So I think there'll be different types of people who will enjoy watching those.
Yeah, and of course Harry and Charlie. Got to have Harry and Charlie if you're going to go to history.
Got to have Harry. That's been fun. I had forgotten how much text went with those cartoons and how. Occasionally, you know, maybe a little saltier language from the 70s.
Good stuff. Jim Sexton has been our guest. Jim, great job on this. I appreciate it. I speak for all 500,000 members. I think that this is great. I think this is great what you guys did with it, and I hope a lot of people take advantage of it, and a lot of folks that are listening right now take the opportunity to join $15 a year, and it's the greatest value out there in sports and publication. It's absolutely tremendous. Jim, I appreciate you.
Thanks, Tom. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. That's Jim Sexton.
All right,
we're going to bring in here. When we come back, let's talk some ICAST new products from Rapala. Crush City is what they're calling their new plastics. Bob Downey will join us, Rapala Pro, next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now, this segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Rapala. And, of course, Rapala has been debuting a lot of new products over the last couple of years. I'm a huge fan of the Rocco Square Bill. And of course, now, coming up at ICAST, Crush City. What's Crush City? Crush City is a line of plastics by Rapala that have been, we've kind of seen them a little bit. You know, I fished the open at Wheeler, and we saw Mr. Rasmussen win that thing, you know, throwing a lot of that Crush City Rapala plastics, and we've seen some other tournaments won on it, and we know that Bob Downey, Rapala Pro, is fishing this stuff as well. It's going to be debuted at ICAST coming up in a week or so, and then it'll be available to the general public sometime this fall, probably early in November. And Bob Downey joins us now on the VMC Hotline. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Good. Thanks for having me, Tom. Good to be back on with you.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. And before we get to the new products, interesting year for you. You had some really solid finishes, 17th at the Classic. Before that, at Seminole, you were 12th. You've been middle of the pack a lot so far this year, but it has landed you in 34th place in the points as the Northern Swing gets ready to roll. And this is your part of the country. And so you're right now solidly in the Classic, above the Classic cut line, with an opportunity to move up even more. I imagine you're pretty excited about St. Clair and Champlain and the Thousand Islands.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to be going back north. I feel like I survived the Southern Swing. I definitely didn't do great down there, but I didn't totally bomb out in the points so far. So I got a shot, and I'm comfortable up north. You know, it never means you're going to do well, but at least I feel like I'm not going to be out of my element up there. So definitely looking forward to it.
So Rapala, we share a sponsor in Rapala, and new products coming out from Rapala on the soft plastics side. Crush City. Now, is this a Bob Downey thing? Did you come up with that? Come on. You're the one that said, hey, let's call it Crush City.
That was a Rapala marketing meeting. That was definitely not me.
So the Crush City line, there are five different shapes right now, and I'm sure there'll be more in this line as time goes on. How much input, though, in the shapes and in the, you know, different sizes and so on, did the pro staff guys have, the guys that are fishing the Crush City plastics and have been fishing them for the past year or so? How much input did you guys have in this?
Yeah, I think, you know, Jacob Wheeler had a big part of it. It's kind of, you know, he's probably had the most input. And then I've had a chance to use it since January of this year and give feedback on it, different colors, different shapes. But, yeah, I've caught fish on every one of the shapes that we got coming out. I've weighed fish on the Elite Series this year on a few different shapes we got. So I'm really excited for the public to see it and get it in their hands. They did a really nice job with it. The packaging is great. The colors are great. And we'll continue to expand into different shapes as we move forward as well.
Yeah, thread those onto a VMC Redline hook, and you're in good shape, right? That cleanup craw, talk about that a little bit, because, you know, that is a craw that seems to be been popular and has already won some money for some guys. Talk about that bait a little bit and how it's designed.
Yeah, Adam Rasmussen, I believe, used it when he won the Open on Wheeler for a few of his fish, and I've used it, you know, Lake Seminole this year. I used it as a swim jig trailer and ended up 12th there, and I flipped with it on the Sabine River just on a Texas rig. So it's a really versatile bait. I've used it, like I said, swim jig trailer. I've used it flipping. I've even threaded it on the back of a buzz bait rather than using a skirt. It's just, you know, it's a good size. It's kind of that medium size craw. I wouldn't say it's a small size or a mag size. It's just a nice, you know, perfect versatile size that you can use. It's got a, you know, kind of a ribbed body with some appendages on it, and then it has kind of a kicking tail that works great as a swim jig trailer. It's become one of my favorite swim jig trailers for sure.
Is it in one size or does it come in a couple of different sizes? I know it has about 17 different colors, but what about size wise? About 3.5 inch bait?
Yeah, right. 3.5 inch bait. We got it in just one size right now. And like you said, a bunch of different colors. They did a really good job with the color selection. You know, you got your whites that you can use for shad spawn, swim jig, buzzbait type stuff, and then black blues, and then a variety of laminate colors with, you know, green pumpkin with chartreuse on one side or bright orange on one side. They really did a nice job with the colors.
Yeah, it seems to be a really good-looking bait that looks like those legs will flap pretty good. If you were, you know, if somebody's going to buy, you know, 3 or 4 bags of these and they got to narrow down, the colors can be overwhelming at times. What are your go-to colors? If you were to pick, say, 3 colors that you want to have and make sure I've got in the boat, we always say, you know, green pumpkin, but what would be the 3 colors that you would want to have that will not only cover the largemouth but the smallmouth spectrum?
Yeah, with the cleanup craw, you know, I'd go black blue for one of them. That'll cover your dirtier water situations. I really like the black blue green pumpkin. It's black blue on one side, green pumpkin on the other. That seems to be a really happy medium on your bodies of water that have just a little bit of color to them, but they're not muddy, like a Tennessee River type place. And then, you know, it's hard to not pick a green pumpkin. We've got a really cool variation of that called Green Pumpkin Magic. It's a green pumpkin base and then some really cool color fleck in it that on your sunnier days give off a really nice nice color, a little bit different than your typical green pumpkin. So those would be the 3 that I would go to cover your bases.
Yeah, Rapala Pro, Bob Downey with us here talking about the new Crush City line of plastics that will be introduced at ICAST by Rapala. The Bronco Bug, this is a little different. I mean, you know, I always look at, you know, some of the craws, you know, have a lot of similarities to other ones and so on, but this Bronco Bug is, it looks like a pretty chunky little piece of plastic here and some thick appendages that are on it, if you will. Talk to me about that bait.
Yeah, super unique. It's unlike anything I've seen in the industry so far. So kudos to Rapala for coming up with somewhat of a new design, at least something that I've never seen before. There may be something in the Japanese market, but I haven't seen anything in the U.S. market that looks like this. Like you said, big, beefy appendages, kind of a thinner mid-body to it. And then the body that you put your hook in is similar to the cleanup craw, but it has a unique action. On a Texas rig, when you let it hit bottom and then you know, flip it up or twitch it up as you normally would a Texas rig, those tails kick like a bucking bronco. It's really a cool bait. And another thing I've found that's pretty neat with it is that you can swim this bait too, just a light Texas rig, weight on it with an extra wide gap hook, and it swims through the water like a dolphin, if you can believe
really?
It. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before. Super unique action, and I've caught a bunch of fish on that too as well, especially in the Midwest here on our offshore weed lines. It's been a really good bait.
Could you put it on a swim jig?
You could put it on a swim jig, yeah. You could throw it on a swim jig as a trailer. It'd be a really unique action. I think it would excel on a wobblehead as well. So I think there's a lot of uses for that bronco bug. Definitely a cool bait.
The Crush City Mayor is a swim bait, a boot tail swim bait. Talk to me about that one there.
Yeah, a couple different sizes. We got a 3-inch size and a 4-inch size. Color selection runs the gamut from your minnow shad colors to your perch to your bluegill to even your black blues if you're down in Florida. I've been throwing the 3-inch one a lot for smallmouth, just a little 3/16 or quarter ounce head. Throw it out there on a spinning rod and wind it over your shallow flats. It's a great search bait for smallmouth. And that bigger one, I'd throw, you know, you could throw it for smallmouth in your windier conditions, but more of a largemouth profile. Throw it on deep rock or up shallow, you know, in the springtime on your shallow flats. So a couple different sizes and tons of different colors with the Mayor.
And then the freeloader, which we have seen some damage done with that thing already this year. That looks like something that you want to put on a bladed jig. You know, it seems like that would be tremendous in that application. And I suppose you could run it alone as it's just a swim bait as well.
Yeah. It was kind of designed to do a couple different things. Definitely a good bladed jig trailer. Has a great action, lets the bladed jig do what it's intended to do, which is hunt, and that tail does a good job of allowing it to do that. One other way that's become popular just recently is using it on a jig head, you know, like a VMC hybrid swim bait jig head. Jacob Wheeler won Gunnersville this year doing that, you know, twitching that bait up above fish using his forward-facing sonar and targeting schools of offshore fish. And I think you're going to see that bait used like that more and more in the next years to come. And it could also be a good drop shot bait for smallmouth. It's a little bit bigger profile than your typical minnow style baits, but where they're eating those bigger minnows like on a St. Clair and using a, you know, like a 1/0 VMC finesse Redline Eco hook, you could thread it on there and it'd be a really good bigger profile drop shot bait. So freeloader is definitely a unique bait for sure.
The Crush City line of soft plastics from Rapala. I can't wait to see these things and to fish them. Bob Downey has been our guest. Bob, we appreciate you. Good luck in the Northern Sweden, man.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll get a break in here. It's Top 100 Lakes time at Bassmaster Magazine. James Hall will join us next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, the segment of the show brought to you by beautiful Lake Harwell and the folks in Anderson, South Carolina at visitanderson.com. And boy, what a beautiful place that is. And what a hot lake Lake Harwell has been the last couple of years, really. And, you know, Green Pond Landing, there's just nothing like it. I mean, that's the prototype for every lake in the country that wants to hold major tournaments at Green Pond Landing. Go there, talk to those guys and see what they did and try and replicate that on your body of water, because that is absolutely tremendous. And it's more than just Lake Harwell. It's also Anderson. Anderson is absolutely phenomenal. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And Lake Harwell is on this year's Bassmaster 100 Best Bass Lakes, ranked 19th in the Southeast is where it came in. And I'm sure that Neil Paul and a group down there think it should be much higher. But that's the way it always works with this deal. And joining us now to talk about it, the guy, I don't know, do I want to say he's the founder of it? Was it his brainstorm, his child 12 years ago when he came up with this idea? He's James Hall. He's the editor-in-chief of Bass Publications, and he joins us now on a VMC hotline. James, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Tom. I'm good. I appreciate you having me on again. You must be desperate.
No, I'm not. This is just our end. There's two things we always got to talk about in July before the Northern Swing. It is Top 100 and ICAST. I mean, it's just like a rite of passage, you know, in the summertime. You get Top 100 and you get ICAST. Was this your baby? I forget. You and I have been talking about this since the beginning. But was this whose original idea was it that said, hey, let's rank the top 100 lakes in the country?
Yeah, it was. Well, I say it was. I want to blame Dave Precht as well. He and I were sitting in his office 12 years ago, and he said, "You know what would be cool?" I was like, "Well," he's like, "We need a list of the best lakes right now." And I said, "Well, the concept should be we should rank a certain number of them throughout the United States, so no matter where anybody lives, they'd know where the hot spot is." And so to kind of together. We came up with it, and it's such a painful effort because there's a lot of work that goes into this thing that now I wish we would have never had the brainstorm. I think the members love it. You know, I get love mail and I get hate mail, and all of the above I appreciate. So, we had 3.85 million impressions from third-party sources last year, right. who kind of covered third-party media covering this thing. So it certainly gets our brand name out there, and hopefully it helps anglers pick a spot to go fish if they don't have the opportunity to go fishing very often.
There are so many different ways that it is used. There's no doubt about it. And, I'm certainly glad that you did it. It's a great talking topic. And I know for me, I'll crack it open. And the first thing I go to is where I live now. And I live on Tim's Ford Lake and about 45 minutes from Gunnersville from Goose Pond Landing. So I look to the body of water that I fish to see, you know, what where they came in on it and what might be rising and so on. And then I look to where I'm from, where I grew up, which for me is the Finger Lakes. Cayuga Lake was where I cut my teeth fishing, and of course we have seen there was a time where my personal best largemouth and smallmouth were both out of Cayuga Lake. Now we know that those smallmouth are kind of dumb there. You can catch them over and over and over again, as we just saw recently, but that's not the point. A great fishery up there, and then there's these hidden gems, and I think that's been the evolution of Top 100 is there are more hidden gems. I'm seeing 3,500 acre lakes, 4,000 acre, you know, smaller places that have kind of popped into this thing over the last few years that were not necessarily a part of it at the very beginning.
Yeah, that's really true. And a lot of that has been inspired by the kayak explosion. With COVID, a lot of people went out and started bank fishing for the very first time. So, you know, we used to have a minimum of, I think it might have been 10,000 acres, but I greatly reduced that when it came down to it, because I know that there's a lot of people that kayak and want to fish from the bank, and they want to go to great places too. And some of these bigger fisheries, it's tough to access the best fishing spots from the bank. So we wanted to give opportunities for those folks to fish at some great places. Plus, the smaller fisheries are exceptional. They're very, very good. And we vetted them just like we vet all the rest of the fisheries on here. And so they definitely earn their place.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's a time when there's going to be a subsection where it's going to be best kayak waters. You know what I mean? Because it's tough sometimes because you get out on some of these big bodies of water. These guys with the kayaks are brave. I mean, they're out there all over the place. They got their flag up and everything else. But, you know, you're cruising along in a fiberglass bass boat at about 65 miles an hour. You got to be a little bit careful. You got to almost kind of be looking for them, kind of like being on the road looking for a motorcycle, if you will. And, it's on the big waters. It can get a little dicey sometimes.
Yeah. And to answer your question, you know, we've considered subsets of this for several years now where we pull out the best smallmouth lakes, the best spotted bass lakes. We could certainly do the best lakes if you're a bank fisherman, and we could do the best lakes for kayakers, although the kayakers would probably tell you there's not a lake that they can't figure out how to access, you know, mm-hmm. big bodies of water. They have to kind of put their boat on a truck and move around more than the fiberglass guy will, but the kayakers out there that are serious, they're not, like you said, they're not afraid of anything.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. James Hall with us here talking about Top 100. And so you started it 12 years ago, and then at some point in time, I don't know how many years in it was, you started breaking it down by sections of the country and regions of the country, which I think was really smart as well, because I'll just kind of briefly peruse the West Coast, because that's not my – I don't fish out there. I kind of am interested in reading about those lakes and knowing about them, but I don't, you know, go through those as intently as I might look at the Southeast or the Northeast, the places that I'm more likely to fish. But I think that was received very well as well, because, you know, people could kind of zero in on their part of the country.
Yeah, and that was definitely the goal, because, you know, if you had Lake – Mitchell, you know, or whatever, ranked 99th. That's not very inspirational, but when you, it just on paper, right? You're thinking, well, 99th best lake in the nation. Why would I go there? But when you consider how many lakes there are, I mean, 10,000 just in Minnesota, then ranking 99th is really good. But to your point, wanting to narrow it down by region for the reader made all the sense in the world. And it also kind of made a better statement for those lakes that might have been, you know, ranked 25th in the region, up to the 25th best lake in the Southeast. That still sounds fantastic to, you know, the passerby. So it just kind of made sense on all fronts. And I do believe, when we broke it down like this, I was able to find riders in these different regions that are very familiar with the fisheries management divisions in those states. And they would have a little bit better bead on exactly what's going on in those areas. You know, West Coast, they could be burning, or it could be drought, or it could be flood. You never know. So to have someone in California taking over that section, that made a lot of sense.
Along with James Hall, it's Andrew Caudillette, Mark Hicks, and Brian Sack that work on this thing. And it's not like you guys like wake up in May and, oh, we got to get this issue out. We start talking to some people and call around a little bit and see what lakes are hot. This is something that is kind of worked on almost year-round, right?
Well, it's a solid three-month project because we want to make sure that we get the data that you read in here with the tournament results and everything. I told the riders it cannot be more than 12 months old, and ideally it would be closer to 3 months old. And you can pull that off in the south, in the southeast, and in the central, and for the most part in the west. But when you get to the northeast, you know, their seasons are closed for so long. That you really have to go back a little bit further to get, the most current tournament data, because a lot of tournaments haven't started by the time we start working on this. So it's about a 3 month project, and we ask every state in the nation, we ask their fisheries departments to rank their lakes to give us kind of the foundation that we launch off of. And it's amazing how much that changes every year. You know, these guys in these states, they know the hot lakes in their areas, because they're the ones, making sure there's access. They're the ones stocking these places. They see where all the boat trailers are parked on the weekends. So we start there, and then we just kind of move on through collecting as much data as possible by looking at every tournament trail on planet Earth to try to get some data to support the rankings. And eventually we get to where we get.
Yeah, and I think that that sport is important as well. This is not just Bass tournament data, BASS tournament data. This is tournaments from, from club events and from regional events and from other circuits and so on. It all goes into the hopper here to make this determination as to how these lakes are going to be ranked and how you guys are going to end up ranking these lakes. And we see some major, major names when you hear about places like Lake Okeechobee or Lake St. Clair. And then, you know, between them, you see Orange Lake in Florida. And I lived in Florida for a number of years and lived in the region and didn't know much about Orange Lake. And boom, there it is, number 8 on the top 10 list of best lakes. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with James Hall here as we look at the top 100 lakes issue here of Bassmaster Magazine on Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. We're visiting with James Hall here, and we're getting into some of the specifics on the top 100 issue that has come out. And first of all, this is available. You know, this show is not exclusive to just Bass members. This issue is available to others, to everyone. You can buy it on the newsstands, but it's also at Bassmaster.com. You can find various sections of this as well. And James, you kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. This is a great opportunity to kind of go outside of the footprint of 500,000 members of BASS and a lot of other people, a lot of other eyeballs on this thing here. And it's become kind of the Bible for the top lakes around the country.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a pretty big debate on whether or not we share this to folks that are not just Bass members, because mm-hmm. for a long time we kept it in the magazine only. But it became such a benefit to all of these fishing communities out there through the, you know, ecotourism and fishing tourism that we thought, no, let's go ahead and share it with the world through Bassmaster.com. So that everybody that kind of earns their living in the fishing space can benefit from it. Plus, you know, hopefully it's inspirational to those readers who aren't members, maybe become readers and members of Bass because of the type of content that we produce.
Now, you don't just take the rankings that the state gives you, right? You guys have your own formula. Is it a feel thing or is it a formula deal? Because we see when you read about these lakes, and Santee Cooper is a perfect example. Huge fish in Santee Cooper. Up to catch a limit these days, but they're huge. I mean, you know, if you do get a limit, it could be 30-pounder. So you balance that against other places where 18 pounds is a great day, but you're going to catch 50 fish, you know, in that particular body of water. I mean, it's just that kind of a body of water. So you kind of balance those things with access and everything else, I would suppose. So do you guys have a formula that you plug in, or do you use a lot of feel for this?
I'm really, really good at math, and I had this spreadsheet formula figured out, but no, I'm kidding. I'm terrible at math. It's mainly just the feel, because the overriding purpose for this is if the number one lake is going to have giant fish and a bunch of fish, you're going to go to a spot that's beautiful, easily accessible, and you're going to have the opportunity to catch 100 plus a 10-pounder. All right, that's the ultimate goal. Now, then you kind of have to balance it out, start going down from there. All right, maybe the big fish isn't going to be more than 7 pounds, but you're going to catch 50. Or maybe you can catch 100, but they're not going to be more than 3 pounds. So what we do is try to put ourselves in the shoes of the average angler and think, all right, if it were us, what would it feel like to go and be successful and have the greatest opportunity? And so when we start looking at the data, that's kind of how it plays out. You know, there are some lakes. Santee Cooper is a great example right now of a place where you're not going to go catch a ton of them. But if you get out there for a full day, you're probably going to catch one over 6 pounds, you know, 5, you know, you'll easily catch your personal best if you're not out, if you're not, you know, fishing 300 days a week. So it's going to make the list because it could make your year by catching a big fish. However, I think typically we want to put lakes higher on the rankings that is where it's going to ensure success rate. So, mm-hmm. You know, really, really healthy fisheries that offer an abundance of bites are going to probably rank higher than the lakes right now that just offer a few bites, but really big ones. And then, of course, when you combine those two elements, they're going to rank even higher.
You know, and the central division is very interesting as you guys break it down, because it goes basically from the Canadian border to the Mexican border. I mean, and so you're balancing, you know, some of these great fisheries like Lake Fork and some of these other places down south in Texas with Mille Lacs, you know, in Minnesota, and then something called West Okeechobee, I don't even know how to say this little lake, 3,800-acre lake in Iowa. Who found that? I mean, where do you find that place?
And I have fished that lake, and it is fantastic.
Really?
You know, that's kind of the home lake for our friends at Pure Fishing.
Oh, really? So okay.
Yeah, you can go to visit the Pure Fishing manufacturing plant, and then drive 10 minutes down and you'll be at West Okeechobee. And I fished there, and it is a tremendous fishery. It's really shocking.
So that's where they test all the. Yeah. That's why they got to have a place that's got great population to test all that great gear that they make there at Pure Fishing. Yeah. That must be a big part of it for sure. You mentioned earlier that you get a lot of positive mail. You get a lot of hate mail as well. I always find it's very interesting the way the anglers will respond, and the way the folks that are in tourism would respond. All the tourism people, they want their lakes, to be ranked higher than they are ranked, or make sure that they get the love that they deserve. And then some of the anglers are like, oh my God, why'd you have to mention my lake? Because now we're going to get overrun with people. So that's the dichotomy that you have, in that world, I would think. And the guides must love it too. The guys that are, if you're a guide at Mille Lacs or wherever, and that lake shows up on this list, that's got to help,
Oh yeah, 100%. And you're right about the a lot of anglers, if it's their home body of water and it's kind of their little hidey hole and it's amazing, they hate to see it on this list. The first time we put St. Clair as number one, that's probably been 7-8 years ago now. I mean the every parking lot was full, and the boat trailers went several miles down the road from the ramp. And I got a call from one of the local guys up there, and he dog cussed me. Yeah, I mean, it was just terrible. But in my head, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. We made a real impact on that fishing community, and all those people are going to get to kind of experience the best lake in the nation right now. So it was cool to see the response. The communities love it, of course. The local anglers, not so much.
Yeah. Well, according to Bassmaster Magazine, the best lake in the nation right now is OH Ivy Lake in Texas. This is a small body of water, relatively small, 20,000 acre lake. And it's not a mystery to fishermen, because we've been hearing about these monster catches and huge stringers that have been coming out of OH Ivy, and it has become a little bit of a destination place. You guys have had it on the list, but now number one for the first time. And, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. It was a coin flip last year to put OHI number one, but I really did not know whether or not it could hold up to the pressure. So it was, I believe, number two last year, and the St. Lawrence River was number one after those amazing smallmouth catches we saw up there. But this year we saw, I think, even more sharelunkers come out of OHI, and a couple, at least one line class world record. Came out of OH Ivy, and the people that I talked to over there said it is, still amazing. So the pressure did not affect it, and potentially it didn't get as much pressure as some of the other lakes, because it's not easy place to get to in Texas. It's kind of out of the way. So regardless, that place is kicking out just enormous bass and a bunch of them. So yeah, it is definitely deserving to be in the top spot this year.
And you can learn a lot too from this episode, or this issue, and from this work of art, if you will, because you find out, you think about Kentucky Lake. You think Kentucky Lake would always be on something like this, but it kind of fell on hard times. You see Chickamauga down on the list, a lot lower than where it normally had been in the past. We've seen places like Amistad completely fall off. And then other great fisheries like Okeechobee and Gunnersville kind of move up and down on the list, very, very much fluctuating where they are on the list. So it's kind of interesting to see how these bodies of water are handled. You don't just plug them in and then they stay there forever.
No. And it really, if you'd have asked me to bet money the first year we did this, I'd have told you that Falcon Lake is going to be number one every single year. Because of how amazing that fishery was when we first started doing this. And, it completely dropped off the list. I think it was last year, maybe the year before. It's back now, but not like it was. So the fluctuation in fishery populations, health of these fisheries, things happen, whether it's pressure, whether it's drought, whether it's crazy storms, fish kills happen. So there's a lot that can go on. And then there's new lake effect. Some fisheries that have gotten old and tired or drought, they rise back up, and the new growth just makes the bass population explode. So there's really a lot of things that can happen to fisheries in the span of 12 months that affect this list. And my eyes have been opened greatly since we started doing this project, of exactly how much a lake can change in 12 months' time.
James Hall has been our guest. He is the editor-in-chief at Bassmaster Publications. And, James, I appreciate you so much. Great work on this one. No arguments. Like you and I used to argue about this in the past. No arguments, though. You guys did a great job.
Tom, thanks so much for having me. I sure appreciate it.
All right, man. Appreciate you. There you go, James Hall. That's great. It's one of my favorite segments every year. Well, that's going to do it for the show today. And remember, if you missed any of it, just go to bassmaster.com/radio, and you can get the archives of all the shows. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.